Your alternative talk radio contact, The Planet, KGRARadio.com.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
I was like, you know what? Let me just end it just in case. I'm like, as I know I screwed the first one up.
Yeah, that's what I get for trying to copy and paste the one number link that was clickable. So I'm like, oh, copy, paste, la, la. I'm like, oh, unavailable. Oh, no.
It would have been funny if you got a random person that had no idea who you were.
And they just happen to have a creepy story. And I've been like, oh, all right.
Right. Well, they're like, yeah, totally. I saw Bigfoot like 3 weeks ago, you know?
I'd be like, hey, Chad, I'm going to have to put you off again. I'm sorry.
Right.
I got a fresh Bigfoot story here, buddy. You understand.
Yeah, I would get it. I'd get it.
Because I was telling you that people love the, you know, when somebody comes back on and they've kind of got, you know, an update or something, you know, to add or like you admitted, hey, I kind of have a correction, actually, to my previous episode. And your first round with me was on ITF 209. It was titled Wendigo and Witchcraft. And, you know, before we dig into stuff, can you give people, you know, just kind of a quick recap of what we talked about there? And of course, we'll need that for whatever part the correction is for, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be good. It's a rather small correction, but truth be told, it's kind of one of those things that I was a little bit ignorant on, and I really don't want anyone to sit there and hear it and go, well, wait a minute, that's not right. Just because, I mean, you know, there's enough skeptics out there already. I don't want anyone pointing fingers. So I want to make sure I'm putting out, you know, the correct information.
Right.
So,
no, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, last time we talked about, you know, a lot of the stuff that we, you know, I ran into as far as the coyote ever since I was a young child. You know, I kind of called it a Wendigo. It's like a shapeshifter. You know, almost really didn't know what to call it, you know, but I had several experiences with it throughout my life, and it went from Texas to California. So that's one of the things that made it so weird that I kept having something like that come up to me. And you know, when I lived on the East Coast for a while, and that's where we kind of get into the correction, is lots of hauntings over there, especially like in the Vermont region. It's very well known for the different activities and things like that. And, you know, we had quite a few. And when I know we were talking about the little boy that, you know, dissipated in thin air when I went to, you know, hug him when everyone was looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Different things with the witch trial and the colleges and everything else out there. And that was actually where the correction comes in, if you want me to kind of hit that now.
Yeah, definitely. Go for it. Thanks.
So basically what it was is I made a comment when we talked the first time that, and I'm 99% certain these were my words. So nobody yell at me if it's wrong, right? But I said that the place that we went to, the hauntings where they occurred and where like the invisible wall that I talked about, I said that it took place about 30 minutes from the Salem witch trials. Okay. Well, the Salem witch trials took place in Massachusetts, and I had no idea that that's where it was originally. I just was always told, yeah, it took place from the Salem witch trial or 30 minutes from where the Salem witch trials were. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. You know, cause I have no idea about, you know, the East Coast and how far everything is apart. Well, it turns out that the actual Salem witch trials were about 2 hours away in Massachusetts from where I was. So everybody was talking about the Salem witch trials that happened in Salem, New York. That was 30 minutes away from Bennington, Vermont. And also the same thing where there was witch trials in Vermont as well. But they all happened about roughly, from my research that I found after I started looking into it, about like 10 to 20 years after the original Salem witch trials took place, which were in Massachusetts. And so my thing was, is I'm like, you know what? I threw it out there. I wasn't specific. And I don't want anyone to hear that and hear me talking about Vermont and know, well, wait a minute, this guy is completely off. I just don't want the story to be questioned. So that was really the correction I wanted to make.
No, and thank you for doing that. I appreciate that, as do the listeners. That doesn't happen often. Of course, not everybody gets to come on, you know, the show twice, so you have a chance to do that. But so you weren't really wrong. I mean, there was some witch trials going on there. It just wasn't the, you know, the big shebang originals that everybody thinks of. That's all.
Yeah, and you know, that's the whole thing with me is, like I said, I, you know, as far as the listeners go, you know, most of them are just interested in hearing what, you know, we've all experienced and encountered, because whether they've done it or whether they're, or had it, I should say, or whether, you know, they're just curious about it. But when it comes down to it, there are a lot of people that are skeptics about these things that happen. Mm-hmm. I've run into them. I know you have. And so my whole thing really just comes down to, I would never want someone who hears what I said that might be a skeptic to use it against anyone and say that, oh, well, all this stuff is fake because this guy said this and
right,
he's wrong.
Right. No.
So that's my biggest motivation.
Totally get that. And huge high five to you for doing that. So I really appreciate that. And something that I brought up before, you know, we finally were able to hop on this evening was the fact that I have had correspondence where people go, oh, that was such a cool episode because of that invisible wall aspect of, you know, your episode. Like you said, you covered the
right.
the strange coyote that you had seen, you know, across state lines over years mm-hmm. and all of that side of things. And of course, that is very interesting. I implore everyone to go back to 209 and listen in. But the invisible wall is just such a, not that the coyote wasn't unique, but I know that for me personally, as
yeah.
some of the, you know, the listeners to the show were kind of going, that invisible wall thing was like really cool and really unique. And I hadn't heard anything quite like that before, which I completely agreed with. So, but as far as the coyote, have you seen that guy since the last time we have spoken?
No, I have not. I have not seen him. If you know what, if I did, I probably would have been sending you email after email telling you about it. But
he's back.
I've had nothing like that happen.
Yeah. No, and again, it's good to be honest about these things instead of being like, oh, well, maybe Shannon wants me to come up with something for the show. No, I don't at all. So, you know how I like to keep things as real as we can.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
My dog was freaking out, you know, about two months ago, just barking and going crazy, and I couldn't see anything. Then I heard this huge crash outside, and the first thought I had is, oh, my God, it is back. Now it turns out it was just raccoons in the trash can.
Damn raccoons.
I know.
They make a lot of noise.
They really do.
For small little creatures. That's why I've always said how important, if you can afford a decent pair of thermal monoculars or something, it's so helpful if you go out Bigfooting to have a pair of those around you. It's very nice to have.
I need to get a set, that's for sure.
Totally worth it. Mm-hmm.
But as far as the wall goes, I don't mean to interrupt, I actually was completely shocked when you told me that, you know, because for me, kind of the most life-changing thing I've ever had was dealing with the coyote, like we talked about, and seeing those things and, you know, whatever those apparitions were. But dealing with the wall, it was just kind of like, wow, this is really weird. And when you told me that people were asking, I know you sent an email to me as well, you know, and I sent it back, responded to it. I hope you got it. But of someone asking about questions about, like, has anyone looked at it? Have they ever had a drone over it? And it's kind of like, at that time, I mean, we have to remember that this is back in, you know, early 2000s. So we're pushing 20 years ago now, or actually it is 20 years ago about, you know, we didn't have that technology. No one did.
Yeah.
And especially me, I was a young kid. But for me, it was just one of those things that just, it really just solidified, you know, what I knew, that there's weird stuff out there. But you know, after you kind of told me about that and how people were interested in it, I was started contemplating. I was like, man, maybe I need to take a trip back out there. I, you know, want to see my buddy anyways. He still lives in the New York area. And maybe I should have him take me where, because I'm sure, because he grew up in the area in that town. And I bet he remembers the house. You know, I bet he could take me directly where it was. So I've actually thought about that. But no, I mean, I was really surprised that that was what people jumped on. And then, yeah, it was a crazy experience. It's super, I mean, it's weird. It's all get out when you're sitting there dealing with it. But yeah, I thought that was cool that people were really interested in that.
Yeah. And again, not to diminish the coyote experiences, those were very cool. I just think that the wall thing just kind of stuck out, as well as the fact that, yeah, it's not the actual Salem witch trials that you meant, but there were witch trials very close to there. So, and if it's connected, maybe it's not, but it was something worth mentioning, right? It's just a guess, just like any of this stuff. And I'm trying to recall, and I should have pulled that up before we hopped on. Besides the drone thing that the listener had me, you know, I forwarded you that email about the questions. What were some of the other questions that were asked? Do you remember specifically about the wall? Didn't somebody say, well, were you able to throw things over it? Wasn't it something like that?
There was something along those lines. Yeah. I think, you know, which we never did. I mean, that never occurred to us. So, I mean, we never tried to throw anything, you know, across the yard or anything like that. I think someone asked about, man, maybe I'm wrong, but I swear one of the questions was, if you didn't run at it, could you just kind of push through it type of thing?
Right. Did you guys try that?
Yeah, we did that. And that was where it was weird, because when you ran at it and you hit it, it was more of like a, you know, like I said, it was like hitting a hard jello. I think is how I described it last time. And that's how I would say it again. It's almost like a weird jello or rubber that you hit. When you pushed against it, it was just like resistance. It was almost like, you know, how they have the resistance band nowadays that everyone used to work out with. It's like if you put two of those in your hands and stood on it and just tried to push upwards on the band, you know, just kind of like the farther you get in, it just had more and more resistance to it. So that was kind of just a slow push. Now, one of the things that I didn't really mention the last time, and I did think about after you said it, is that the actual area that we talked about, it didn't span the whole yard. So you could actually, at certain points right around the, like where the back patio was, you could walk through. Like at the bottom of the stairs, you could walk through. It nothing stopped you. And I don't know about the back of the yard. I don't know how far back it went. We just kind of went to the middle of the yard and started messing around and going back and forth. But you could move from one side of the yard to the other. It was just basically back by the patio. So I don't know if it was a limited thing. I really don't know.
So weird.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. That's why I love that story.
Yeah. I mean, it is legitimately one of the weirdest things that, you know, I've ever experienced. I even mentioned about how, you know, one of my friends that was sitting up on the patio on the railing, he was kind of making fun of us in the yard, and all of a sudden something knocks him over, you know, off the patio. No one's there. He just gets shoved off. And it's just like, you look at all those things and it's crazy. You're just sitting here going, well, there's gotta be something to this. But I mean, how am I going to explain? You know, I'm a 20-year-old kid at the time. Like, I have no idea. I'm just kind of dumb and willing to do whatever. So I don't know, but it was cool.
It would be pretty amazing to be able to go back there and see if the wall, quote unquote wall, we have nothing else to call it, is still active.
Yeah, I would definitely be willing to go back there. You know, I just don't know how it's changed hands, because I know it's been a bed and breakfast. I know it was a privately owned a house at one time. So it's kind of gone back and forth. I don't know where it is now. But, you know, if it was privately owned, that'd be cool, especially if someone would let you do it.
Right.
I don't know how they react to the story, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unless
they might want to sell the house, but.
Yeah, unless they have, you know, except for however many few walkways they could utilize around the wall or through the wall.
Yeah,
that was a cool story. So I implore everybody to go back to 209. And check that out. I titled that one Wendigo and Witchcraft. So Chad, though, we are here to talk about some new stuff as well, correct? Some haunting type stuff and maybe some poltergeist activity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I didn't actually get to cover from the last time we talked, and I don't know if you wanted me to talk about it or not, but I have a bunch of little things, but that one actually still happened on the East Coast in Vermont, and it had to do with the colleges. And that was definitely a weird haunting type of thing. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. Like, did you see The Haunting of Hill House? Did you ever watch it?
I still haven't. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it. I still have not done that.
It's good. You know, it's pretty good. But the Vermont colleges where I'm talking about, and I don't know if I should really say where they are. They're in southern Vermont. But that was actually, the book was based off of one of the houses on the college.
So live in for some of the students then on campus housing type situation?
Well, actually, if I remember correctly, again, I'm saying if I remember correctly, but I'm 90% sure. It was actually, it was either where the music teacher lived or where they did the actual music classes. I think it was where he lived with his family.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah. What was going on with that place?
Well, that one's very well known because they say when you go there, you can hear music, you know, or you can hear footsteps and talking. Now, my experience doesn't have anything to do with that. I just know that's an area that's gotten really popular. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't know about is also the other part of the college. You know, long ago it was zoned. These are all these old, huge mansions that were turned into, you know, college buildings and everything. And what a lot of people don't know is there's a reported hauntings in the actual college. And what ended up happening one night is my friend, the same friend that actually took me to the wall and all that kind of stuff. He said, hey, my buddy is the security guard at the college, and he talks about how haunted it is. You can go in at night, and he'll go through and he'll turn off lights, lock rooms, and he'll come back. Doors are open. Lights are on. You'll hear people running through the hallways. You'll hear kids laughing, all kinds of stuff. He goes, I know the security guard. You want to go? I'm like, yeah, of course I want to go see that. Like, that's crazy. So we went there. So we went to this college in Vermont, went through with him, did his rounds. He would go in, he'd lock the doors, he'd turn off the lights. We'd be walking through the hallways. And the next thing you know, we'd come around the corner back following where we were, the lights would be back on. Then we keep walking through the building and we would start hearing the footsteps going through. And then you would hear the laughter. And then you would hear what would sound like, you know, a teacher yelling at the kids to, you know, get in class and sit down, literally as if it was words being spoken. And you would just put your ear up to the classroom door. And that's what it sounded like muffled people yelling at each other, you know, hey, do this, do that. And yeah, I mean, he would go in and he would lock the doors and he'd say, go ahead, feel it. You know, we'd mess with the lock. Doors completely locked, you know, and the next thing you know, you would just stand there for 5 minutes. And lights would start going on and off inside the actual room, the outside of the college, and actually see the lights going on and off through the entire building. That was, I got to tell you, it was the weirdest thing. It wasn't scary. It was just really weird. And that was one of the things that happened in Vermont as well with us, right next to that Hill House, the Haunting of Hill House mansion or whatever it was. And I guess I don't really care. I don't know if it's going to come back on me. It's actually Bennington. Bennington College. So, you know, I wanted to throw that out there because if any of the listeners, you know, want to see something real cool, I mean, I was thinking about how I don't really know where to tell you to see the wall, but I can tell you that you can go to, you know, Bennington, Southern Bennington State College, and you can just sit out there and you'll see that happening all night. You might even see apparitions around the ponds and things like that because there were some kids that died there, they drowned. I never saw that, but that's part of the whole thing with it. So I wanted to throw that out there just for the listeners.
There is actually something that has been dubbed the Bennington Triangle. I don't know if you're aware of that, but there's all kinds of course, interesting things in that area. I'm just trying to look it up here because I know somebody coined it. Oh, yes. Joseph Citro coined it during a radio broadcast in 1992.
Well, a lot of that goes back to the disappearances that happened there. I can't remember. I want to say it was like in the, maybe like the 50s or 60s. Mm-hmm. I'd have to go back and read the articles. But in the Bennington Triangle, there was, over the span of a couple of years, there was all these unexplained disappearances. You know, people would go off for a walk and then they were gone. You know, people would report seeing them and saw them going towards a certain area, maybe of a hiking trail, and it just disappeared. You know, they were never seen from again.
Well, I see that Paula Weldon, that's the name I was trying to pull out of my brain, but Wikipedia actually helped with that, which you have to be careful with Wikipedia. But Paula Weldon, I remember her story, and I think several of those stories from that area are, of course, in the Missing 411 books, because some of them are very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are that's where that whole Bennington Triangle comes from, or Vermont Triangle. It's all around the Bennington area. It actually, I believe it actually does encompass the colleges that I was referencing earlier. So it's known, and I mean, just Vermont in general, you know, is known as an area where there is a lot of paranormal activity and happenings.
Do you know why there would possibly be hauntings going on at that college?
You know, they talk about, well, first of all, there was a, like I said, there was a man that owned it, and he was married twice, as far as I know, and both of his wives died mysteriously.
That's not good.
All the I know. It's always real mysterious, right?
Uh-huh. Especially, I guess, like, Carol, you know, Baskin first, over here.
Oh my God, don't even get me started on it. yeah. You own a park full of tigers, lady. We all know what happened.
That's real easy body disposal right there.
It really is. It's like tailor made. Mm-hmm. But the owner of the home, his first wife, you know, it was rumored, of course, that he killed her just because he was tired of her, didn't want her around anymore. The second wife did not get along with his daughters. And so she ended up dying randomly and disappearing. There was also on the property, and this is a story that I would definitely have to look up a little bit and do more research on, because it was told to me by a third party and it was, you know, years ago. But there was a mother that killed her children by drowning them in the lake on the property. And those are the main ones that they talk about, that, hey, you will see this time to time, you know, at night, especially when there's fog rolling in. You can hear young children laughing, and you'll see, you know, shapes walking through the fog as well. So there's been quite a few things, and who knows what else, really, because those, you know, I mean, that house has been there since the late 1600s, early 1700s. And there's a few direct stories that would make you think, okay, you know, obviously there could still be a spirit that's hanging around there. Is it the spirit of the wives that are angry? Is it, who knows? You know, who knows?
So when the two wives disappeared, they haven't found a trace of them then? They're just gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be gone. Who knows? I mean, we could go real dark with it and say they're, you know, walled up in the house somewhere, or in the basement, or, you know, goodness knows where. And that's just conjecture.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's even just conjecture, right, that they're even the ones haunting the place, or that they're even dead. Who knows? Maybe they just left him and he's scary and they changed their names and social security numbers, and who knows? But
one ever saw him again.
Right. But it is strange, though, you know, that you have two wives that they go miss. They both go missing, and there was strife going on in both the marriages. So that leads one to believe that maybe he just disposed of them somehow, which could lead to a haunting.
Well, it very well could. And the other thing, and I mentioned it very, very briefly on the last time that we talked, I talked about seeing sacrificial grounds that were known for the witches back in the 1700s would use for black magic.
Mm-hmm.
my friend took me to them. They're on the college campus. So you can walk through the college campus and you know, literally find these areas where they were set up, and they have statues of, you know, people with no heads, and the hands are holding out, and that's where the head is. You know, they're holding the head in their hands. And it was a known area where people would go and practice black magic and do different rituals, you know, and I mean, again, no expert, but who the hell knows, you know, what's going on there. And when you walk into those areas, it gives you that vibe. Like, wow, this area screwed up.
So,
you know,
there's
shouldn't be here.
There's statues to denote sacrifices that had gone on in the area?
Mm-hmm. Yep, wow. Sure is.
Hey, you know, I love places that that embrace anything that, you know, history has behooved upon that location. So, hey, that's cool. Wow. I wasn't expecting the statue.
Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, you know, there were some trees that were permanently marked or something because the bark is gone and it's in the shape of a pentagram or whatever. But wow, okay, a statue. Headless statue.
Yeah, it's actually like headless statues, and they're in kind of like it's a cobblestone ring that, you know, it's surrounded by a little bit of a, you know, cobblestone wall. Real, real ornate. Now, again, I tell everybody, you know, I saw this with my own eyes, and there's plenty of people I know that could tell you about it, but I mean, it was 20 years ago. You know, they might have torn all that stuff down, but that's not going to make a difference as far as the hauntings go, you know, or any type of possession that's going on in those areas. It just is a visual cue. And I got to tell you, when you see it, it's cool, but it's chilling, you know, at the same time. Like, it's like, oof, what happened here?
I mean, when you guys heard the talking and all of that on the other side of the door, did you say anything? Did you say, hey, who's there? Did you try to interact with that?
No. I said stuff, but it definitely wasn't, hey, who's there?
Yeah, right. Under your breath, four-letter words.
Yeah, it was more like looking at the guys I was with and going, what is going on here?
It almost seems like, because it happens what sounds like quite frequently, because, you know, it's hard to pinpoint. You know, any of this stuff is hard to make it happen on cue and all of that. That's why it can be hard to get evidence. But that one almost sounds like more of just a straight residual type of a situation. You know, the lights flickering on and off is a little bit more interactive, but like the footsteps and things like that, and then the almost like a movie playing in the other room, like just this interaction between a teacher and her students or his students, whatever the situation was.
It was very, very, you know, it was strange. And, you know, I'm going off of the word of the gentleman who was the security guard there at the time. And he said, that's pretty much a nightly occurrence.
Oh.
So, and he said it happens differently. Like, it's not going to be the exact same thing every single night, but it is a nightly occurrence to have something along those lines that is happening. He said that he's been freaked out, you know, because especially when he first started, obviously that's going to mess you up a little bit when you first start. Yeah. He said after he had first started, there was a night where he actually heard footsteps that sounded like they were just sprinting at him. And so he thought someone was inside of the college that was running behind him to, you know, attack him. And he turned around and no one's there.
That would be freaky.
So, you know, that would freak me out.
Yeah. That would be freaky. Okay. So I don't think that most people would classify that as residual. That seemed to be interacting with him quite a bit.
Gosh. So, and I don't know if the guy still works there, who knows, you know, but, you know, that was the experiences that he talked about. I found it very interesting, very fascinating. And it was weird. It was disturbing because you're just watching all this stuff happen. And part of your mind kind of goes to that thing. It's like, dude, are you messing with me? Is there someone in this room? Are they flicking the lights? Like, what's going on? You know, lights in the hallway would go off and on, which is already creepy because you expect to see something, but we never did. But it just is one of those things where it was very unique. And, you know, I wouldn't say that it was scary, but it was, man, it was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I an active place like that. Now, before we go to the next thing, have you seen any you know, paranormal groups that have gone in there, considering the fact that it is quite an active location. And of course, there's a whole mess of red tape. And if it's changed hands, and sometimes they don't like to, you know, you guys were in there because that guy knew the night watchman, you know. So right, sometimes, right. Like you said, people leave, you won't get access. But have you ever seen any decent evidence come out of that place since it does seem so active?
You know, I've never heard of anything. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of the area.
Yeah.
But I've, you know, well, I shouldn't say I've never heard anything. If you actually go online, it'll talk about the hauntings at those colleges. I don't know if that's because of the whole, you know, Haunting of Hill House and everything came out and that's what it was based on, but they do talk about it. So, I mean, if you Google stuff like, you know, most haunted places in Vermont, or I think it even pops up on America because Vermont has so many. You can go in there and it'll talk about how, yes, these places are haunted and this is what people,
right,
you know, are seeing. So this isn't something where it's just kind of like, oh, this happened once. No, it's a known thing. Now, has anyone ever gone and really visited it and done anything like EVPs or, you know, anything to try and prove it? That I don't know. But I know it's something that they actually talk about. And I know that I can confirm it because I went there. So there is information. I just don't know if there's anything beyond that.
Right, right. No, that's cool. Thanks for sharing that. Well, yeah, where are we going next?
Mm-hmm. Well, where we'll go next is like I was talking to you about the shadow men and the kind of poltergeist activity, because it's all one story. It's all the same thing. And this is one of the things that I had left out the last time we talked, just because obviously we ran out of time and we had a couple other things to cover. So I would say for a good majority of my life, I've always kind of had that thing where it's like out of the corner of your eye, you know, you kind of see that shadow and you're like, oh, what was that? You know, or you mm-hmm. go around the corner and you go, oh, I think I saw something standing there. And who knows if it's real or not. It's your eyes playing tricks on you. Sometimes you get that creepy feeling when you see it and you kind of go, well, that might have been real. But the time that I just wanted to talk, you know, tell you about basically was a time when I was in San Diego, I was in California, and I was a general manager for a certain company out there that is actually pretty well known. So I'm going to leave them off the list just in case someone hears it. I don't want to throw them out there. But I started with them when they were pretty small, and we had built up and, you know, we got to this point where we had all these vans and trucks that, you know, we had to park. And we were in this office building complex, industrial complex, real generalized, just like every other one that you would ever see. So we were looking for a bigger spot in the complex. And the leasing agent came up to us and said, hey, you know, we got this one spot that has been open for quite a while. You know, no one ever really wants to stay there. Always seems to be an issue with it. Do you want to check it out? It's about 6,000 square foot. I'm like, well, that's great. That's exactly what we're looking for. We go in, we check it out, and it's like, man, this place is awesome. Huge bay, bunch of bathrooms, all kinds of offices. And I was talking to the owner of the businesses, and I'm like, look, I mean, how do we say no to this? Because they're giving us a 40% discount on it. If we mm-hmm. do the rent, or if we take it over, because it, you know, what they told us was because it had been sitting so long.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of the first
good.
Thing.
I like it already. 40% discount. Cause it's been vacant for so long. All right.
And we're, you know, it's like, we're idiots. We're meeting them after work. So everyone's gone. And, you know, I'm not going to confirm nor deny whether we had thrown back a couple beers. And so we're like, wow, that much off, we'll take it. You know what I mean? It's like, this is great. Never thinking any of the difference that, it, you know, why is it that much? Is it really just because it's been empty? So we moved into it. And I got to tell you, it was, it was pretty much right away where you just walked in. Like I would get there early in the morning. I usually started my day by 6 o'clock at the latest, and I'd walk in and there'd be nobody there. And you would just walk in, it'd be pitch black. And it was just like, you walk in and you would get a chill going down your spine. It's like, oh, what is that? You know, like, I feel like I shouldn't be here. So I always felt weird about the place. And we were there for a little while. And I finally was talking to somebody in the complex. And they asked where we were. And I said, well, we're right back here in this number. I forget what it was. It's like 402 or something like that. And they go, really? They're like, you know, the guys that are in those three buildings over there, the paint booth guys, they were there before you. I was like, oh, really? No kidding. He goes, yeah, they were there for about 3 months and moved out. It's like, really? That's weird. And he goes, yeah, they just said it didn't work for them. And it didn't work for them. I'm like, it's a huge space. You know, I'm like, the area that they're in right now is basically the same size. It's just made up of three separate units. I'm like, why wouldn't it have worked? I'm like, okay, you know, and in your head, you're just like, okay, well, whatever. They found some reason that it didn't work for them, but still they're there only 3 months. You're like, all right, sounds good. So I had a guy there then, and I'll kind of, well, I'll just say it first thing, the person that I'm going to talk about now, one of my best friends, we've worked together forever. He was a great guy, served in the military. He ended up passing away a couple of years ago, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd put him on here and have him say the same exact thing that I'm telling you. His name was Tony, and you know, he was my assistant manager. And so we would sit there at night, you know, booking jobs, you know, pretty late into the day. And we always both kind of said that there was like these, you know, weird, creepy feelings, but you know, nothing ever really came of it. We would just talk about how things were weird and things were creepy. And one night, again, we were closed and there might've been one or two beers involved. We got this great idea. Hey, you know what we should do? Because we should find an EVP system, you know, like an EVP device, just cause we felt weird. You know, we're always like, what if this, we joked about it. What if this place is haunted? Oh, this place must be haunted. You know, why else do I get the creeps when I walk to the bathroom from my office, you know? So he ended up going and getting one. And this is probably about a week later that he got it. And at the time I had a Honda, a quad. I'm sure you're familiar with them in Vegas, obviously, mm-hmm. The old Honda 250R quads. And the reason I bring up the model that it is because it has no electronics. It only has a stator motor that runs electricity off of the motor when the motor is started. So there's no electricity. There should never be anything coming off of it. And so we go out back and we're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do an EVP session. So we start walking around and asking questions. You know, is anybody here? You know, is there anybody with us? Is there a person here that wants to talk to us? And we're going all over the place and nothing happens and nothing, you know, is really spiking. And he just happens to walk up to my quad, just jokingly. And he goes, wouldn't it be funny if this spiked? And he set it down on the seat and the seat spiked. So the EVP device spiked. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. That shouldn't happen. I'm like, because there's no electricity in it. It literally runs off the motor. So if the motor's dead, there's no electricity. But we have this device that's showing that there is electricity coming off of it, you know, or some type of, you know, energy coming off of it. So that kind of messed with us a little bit because you're sitting there going, well, that's weird and unusual, you know, didn't expect it. And then it was probably like 2 weeks later that I got a call on a Saturday from one of the girls that worked there and answered the phones. And she said, hey, where are you? And I said, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, I'm looking for you in the office. I said, well, it's Saturday. I'm not working on Saturday. You know, or this isn't my Saturday to work, because I actually did work Saturday. I said, well, I'm not working this Saturday. And she goes, don't BS me. And she's like, I hear you, Bill, and Tony in the back office. She goes, the door's locked. I know you guys are back there talking. She's like, quit messing with me. And I kept telling her, I'm like, we're not there. I'm like, I'm not there. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, are you sure the office is locked? I was like, you really hear people talking? She, yes, I hear people talking back there. And I said, okay, look, I'm going to come over because I didn't live too far from the office. I said, look, I'm going to come by and just make sure that I didn't know, you know, maybe a homeless person had gotten in there, and they were in the back talking themselves. I have no idea at this point. I'm like, this is weird. So I get there, and she's freaking out, you know, because now she realizes that I literally was not there. I just am now walking in. And she goes, no, right through there, the door is locked, and there's people talking. And I walked up to the door, and sure enough, it really did sound like people were kind of mumbling. But you couldn't hear what they were saying. You couldn't really make anything out. It just sounded like, you know, almost like mute vibrations of people talking. I opened the door and go in there, and there was nothing. You know, there's no one there. And I just told her, I said, well, no one's here. And she's swearing up and down. She's like, no, I've heard talking this entire time, this entire day. And, you know, she's like, I'm not kidding you. I'm done. I got to go home today. I'm freaked out. And I let her go home, you know, because I understand. So then, and stop me anytime if you have a question, by the way.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
I feel like, I feel actually, like I'm talking so much.
No, it's great. It's awesome. You're a perfect guest. Don't even worry about that. But one thing I wanted to ask, because you were saying EVPs. Yeah. And did you guys both do EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, and try to pick that up? Or did you mean an EMF detector, electromagnetic field? Were you guys doing
that's
both?
That's the one deal. No. I said EVP, but that's speaking out of character. It was the EMF, the one that reads the electricity.
Oh, okay. I was just, I didn't know if you were doing both of those or you just meant the EMF. Okay, no problem. I was just clarifying.
No. Thank you for catching that too.
No worries.
It was just the one because I was describing it right. I just called it the wrong thing, basically. It was just picking up, you know, kind of electricity and things
right.
like that and spikes and that. But that's what it was. It was an EMF.
Yeah, no, thanks for clarifying that. And as far as the woman, that would have really truly been unsettling because if she thought, oh, they're having a little meeting in there, I won't bug them. And she had been hearing that mm-hmm. all day. And then come to find that there's not a living person in the room, that absolutely would have bothered most anybody.
It scared the crap out of her.
Did she come back to work after that?
You could tell she was visibly shaken. She did. Yeah, she did. She came back to work. But at that point in time, it was more of a, I'm only going to be here if you're here
right.
or if Tony's here
right.
type of thing. But she did come back to work. She's never wanted to be alone. Which is fine because we had other people that worked there too. So we just kind of rearranged the schedules and everything. But, you know, she was visibly shaken and she was young too. So this is not a person that has experience in life and could, you know, kind of shake it off. I mean, this is a person that probably never ran into this before, never would have thought about this. She's 19 years old. She's actually the sister of one of the guys that worked there. And, you know, she had just started. And it was like, she just started and all of a sudden she's having this experience and she thinks that we're messing with her and finds out that nobody's even there.
Yikes.
I mean, you could see it on her face and I can only imagine, you know, what it was like in her head. You know, I felt so bad for her and she was one of the sweetest girls too. So I just felt so bad for her. So, all right, where did I leave off? So we had the EMF doing everything. Okay. So this is where it picked back up. This is where it does start to get actually, I call it weird. And this is one of the, I will tell you this, because I told you like with things with the coyote, obviously we talked about the invisible wall. We talked about a bunch of things. None of that stuff ever messed with me or freaked me out. It never really scared me. There was a few times where I got a little nervous, but this is the only story that I can tell where I can literally tell you that I was freaked out in every sense of the word. And I would never want to experience what I experienced again. So this one for me is like the big one, you know what I mean? But it's because I lived it. So I am obviously, you know, because I will send you a few messages here and there. I try and be the consummate goofball,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I like to make everyone laugh and I just like everyone to be loose and free and funny. So after that happened with her, I won't say her name again, but I wanted to make light of it because obviously the story goes around. So I decided that I was going to make a joke of it. I'm like, well, you know what, guys? Obviously, the office is haunted. That's what it is. And I'm like, we will name him. We should call him Carl. So I named it and said, Carl the Ghost haunts our office. That was really probably stupid because, you know, when you look at all the different stuff, when they talk about any of this paranormal activity and when there's hauntings and things like that, there's certain things that you can do where you invite it. So it was there, but now you're really pulling it in type of thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like happened. You know, I feel like I did that and that Tony did that because he picked it up then. And it was like, yeah, it was Carl. We had stuff that started happening where we would have things from certain desks go to another, you know, family photos, you know, staplers that were bought because they were red, just like Office Space, you know, and people would buy those and that's mm-hmm. what they wanted. And then it would be on someone else's desk and they're going, why are you taking my stuff? Well, I'm not taking your stuff. Then we would have technicians with their trucks that were parked inside where they would go out there and they're like, hey, my, you know, $100 laser measure is not in my truck. And then another guy would find it and he's like, hey, this came out of nowhere. You know, it's in my truck for some reason.
That's causing a lot of issues then.
It was a lot of issues. Yeah. And guys are going, dude, what are you like? Why are you going in my truck?
Right.
You know, and I'm just trying to make a joke of it. And I'm like, guys, just don't worry about it. Just give him back his thing. You know, don't touch anymore. It's all good. Let's go. You know, just try and encourage it. So that's going on. You got all this happening with the equipment being switched out of trucks and everything else. And the whole time it's like, we're trying to make light of it, just saying, it's Carl the Ghost, you know, whatever. And then I started having these crazy dreams, just like nightmarish, just evil dreams. And they would all take place at our warehouse and our office. And, I would always see this entity, if you will, and it would be in one spot of the office. And it was huge. It was a black silhouette. You know, it was shaped like a man, but it looked massive. Like in The Princess Bride, you know, when Andre the Giant's wearing the huge black cloak.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal was dressed up like the Grim Reaper. And it was always in this corner of the office. And it was like I would be looking at it and I felt, you know, like I couldn't do anything and I was helpless. And we've all had those dreams, you know, where you feel like you can't go anywhere. But this one was so gripping and guttural. And I would wake up in the middle of the night having a panic attack and my chest would be tight. And I'd, you know, feel like I couldn't breathe. And then I started having panic attacks and anxiety, just all kinds of stuff and that I'd never experienced before.
When you're awake.
During the day, like I would walk in there, you know, cause I'd have the dreams at night and then I'd go to work during the day and, you know, maybe for some reason everyone was gone at lunch. And so I was covering and I just felt like it was just an elephant was standing on my shoulders and I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. And I kept thinking that I was seeing things like, you know, out in the shop, I would swear that I saw someone walking and then I'd swear that I heard someone come through the front door and I'd go out there and no one's there and I'd be checking the bathrooms and no one's there. And it really got bad. Like I said, my anxiety happened. I for a little bit of time, I had to go on medication. I was having anxiety attacks, panic attacks, and this started and it went for about a month and a half, give or take. And I had noticed over that same period of time that Tony was kind of acting different as well. Mm-hmm. I was trying to keep myself as usual as possible, normal as could be. But obviously, you know, the best you try, you're going to be different. People are going to notice it, you know, coming up like, hey man, what's going on? You had a rough night, whatever it is, you know? And I kind of noticed Tony having the same thing. And I said, hey man, I'm like, you look stressed. Are you okay? And he told me, man, he goes, I don't know. It's been like the last month or so. I've been having weird dreams and just weird dreams. I said, man, me too. And I said, what, you know, what's been going on? He goes, man, I keep having this vision and dreams of just this huge, just black shadow in the office. And he goes, I swear to God, I'm hearing stuff and seeing foot, you know, or hearing footsteps and just seeing people walk by. And, you know, it was at this time where I'm at that point very, very nervous because he's telling me everything that I've had.
Right.
And I just said, well, look, dude, I've been having the same exact thing going on. And it's kind of one of those things where you're having a conversation and when someone says, oh, same here, you're like, no, no way. Yeah, I mean, you just, it's bold, right? And I, you know, he's like, are you serious, man? I'm like, yes, I'm dead serious. You know, I said, I can tell you exactly where the person has been popping up every single time in my dreams or whatever it is.
Did he corroborate that same place?
Well, actually what I was getting to.
Oh, sorry.
That's all good. Yeah, I mean, you're kind of like, you're right on top of it, right? It's like, well, wait a minute, hold on. Well, what we did is because he was the one that was telling me about the fact that he was having these dreams. And so he did not believe me. He thought I was messing with him, that I was having the same one. And I said, okay, well, fine. You know, how do you want me to prove it? I said, because I'm having the exact same thing happen to me. He goes, okay. So one of the girls that worked in the front that knew about the stories and everything, it's not the same girl as before, but she knew about the stories and everything. He goes, let's have her, like, we'll close the door. I'll tell her where my dreams, everything is going. And then you come out, I'll go in and you tell her again where yours are going. I said, okay, fine. I'm like, because if it's the same exact place, then it's freaky as hell, right? So anyways, he went out and he pointed to where it was going, you know, and then came in and said, okay, cool, I'm done. I already showed her where, you know, everything that I'm dealing with is coming from. And I said, okay. And I went out there and she, you know, she's sitting here going, really? She goes, I know we've talked about this stuff, but she's like, this is stupid, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, here's where the whatever it is, the entity appears every single time in my dream. And I pointed to the exact corner. And I mean, her face went white as a ghost because she's like, you know, she already knows the story. And she goes, are you kidding me? And then she starts thinking that me and Tony are messing with her.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so I called Tony out and we're all sitting here going, no, this is not, we're not kidding. And she goes, you guys pointed to the exact same corner. She goes, you pointed to the corner that's right behind my desk.
Oh, of course.
And I'm like, yeah, I know, exactly. And we didn't think about that beforehand, dude. So it's kind of an ironic thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, you know, at that point, you know, it's like my, I mean, I felt like I had a lead brick in my stomach. I was just,
yeah.
You know, I couldn't believe that he pointed to the same place that I did. He was, you know, messed up. Like, I can't believe it. You pointed to the same place that I did. We're literally having the same dreams. So, you know, we had that happen.
Okay. That is, and then, that is very, very strange.
Yeah, very.
Did it comfort you guys more to know you were having this shared experience, or was it more worrisome?
It was more worrisome just because to me, it's kind of like, you know, you're looking at it going, okay, well, at least someone else is dealing with this. So maybe I'm one of two crazy people. I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're sitting here because you think of all the stories and all the things start going through your head and all the things you've ever heard about the paranormal and the hauntings and the poltergeists and, you know, the demonic whatever. And you're sitting here going, how in the world am I having dreams that are basically the exact same as one of my friends? And yes, we've been joking about stuff and messing around with stuff, but how is this happening? You know, because in your head you're going, I've never, you know, invited an entity into my life. Like, I don't want that. You know, I'm just joking about stuff. You know, I'm joking about haunting. I'm, you know, joking about voices.
Yeah, you elevated it when you guys named him Carl. I think it really ticked him off. He obviously did not enjoy that part of the story. So, I mean, for
yeah.
for something for you guys to have a shared, basically, dream state, and then it spills into your everyday lives because it's affecting you so much that you actually started to take medication for it, is really pretty stunning. Mm-hmm.
It was one of the hardest times that I ever went through. It really was. And that's kind of what I tell people too, that are interested in some stuff. Like, you know, we've chatted and it's like, I want to see Bigfoot. You know what I mean? I would love to see Bigfoot. But when people start talking about, oh, I want to see poltergeist activity, which there's the last part of this story involves that for sure. It's like, no, you don't. Or, you know, well, I want to see shadow figures. Well, maybe you want to see one, but, you know, some of this stuff, it gets real, you know, and it's not just something that you see and can scare you and, ooh, I'm not going to sleep good tonight. It will mess with your life. It really can.
Now, you don't have to, of course, but, or maybe, you know, you don't really quite remember. You just know they were disturbing. But do you remember any of the details mm-hmm. of what we're assuming this entity or being was able to put in you guys' head for the dream states? Like, what were the kind of things that were going on in your dreams?
So with myself and, you know, Tony had very similar stuff. I'm not going to say the dreams were 100% mirrored. They were just very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some stuff that was the exact same, but other stuff was similar. But what I would have is I would basically be walking out of my office. It was dark. I was the only one in the office. And I would kind of holler out for people because, you know, it was one of those things where I, you know, in my head, apparently I wasn't supposed to be the only one there. And then I would see this entity and it was just kind of in the corner. It was just floating there and it would start coming towards me. And it was one of those dreams where you're trying to run, but you just can't, you know, it's like whatever's behind you following you is faster than you, no matter, you know, how hard you run, and you're screaming and trying to get to a door and get out and yell for help. And every single time at the end of the dream, the entity would actually go into me through my spine. It would go into my back, the middle of my back, my spinal column, and it would go into me. And that was usually where I woke up. Never really had anything past that. So it was almost
not
like
that you needed anything past that. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't really want anything past that. But well, that was what some of the stuff that messed with me so much, you know.
Were the dreams always set in the office space?
Yeah, every single time.
Wow.
Every single time.
Boy, it made sure just to set the tone the way that it wanted set. Like, it left no room for you to guess. It even let both of you, including Tony, know exactly where it chose to either, you know, stay or where it emanated from, or, you know, whatever that corner meant to it. Did you guys ever, you know, take the EMF detector or any other detecting device at all into that corner, or, you know, actually physically walk over there and stand there and feel if there's anything physically different about that little space?
We never took an EMF detector over there because it kind of freaked us out anyways the first time we did it. You know, it was just weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, we never really messed with it again. The only thing about that corner of the office is that was the coldest area of the office.
Mm.
The girl that worked over there, like I was saying earlier, the one that, you know, we pointed out the corner and she's like, wait a minute, that's my corner.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oops. I'm sorry. She would always have to have like heaters under her desk and everything else. So it could be, you know, 70 degrees in the office, but over there you'd go and felt like it was in the 50s type of thing. It was weird.
Interesting.
And yeah, we always just kind of, at first we just thought, well, maybe it's a bad insulation with the windows or something, you know, who knows type of thing. And she didn't complain. She was just like, yeah, just put some heaters under here. And we're like, all right, cool. But that was the one thing that was weird about it. It was, is that fact.
Wow, I wasn't expecting the, you know, the shared dream experiences and then you guys, you know, both kind of being lighthearted and keeping the humor going, which I can relate to as far as a workspace. I try to be that same person. you know, it took some time for you guys to connect on that, because you were the type to just keep things light, you know, and not try to drag everybody down with what might be going on, what you assumed was just with yourself.
Right. Well, and that was the whole thing. And I can wrap up the entire story too and tell you with one last bit, you know, where it ended. And that's where it became really obvious that it was some type of definite possession, poltergeist, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever it was attached to. I did sell the quad, by the way, very quickly after that, just in case you're wondering. But,
since Carl enjoyed it
so much.
We had
found, right, exactly. After all this had happened, it was just one night we were sitting there and we were both in my office. And my office had a sliding door that went out to the warehouse. And we heard a door open and close, and we were waiting for the technicians to come in. Tony and I were. And no one walked through. So, you know, he went out there and kind of hollered around, "Hey, who's here? Who's here?" Whatever. No one answered. Okay, weird. Then we end up hearing people laughing, and we're like, "What is that?" And I'm like walking around through the office. It sounded like came by the bathrooms in the hallway. And then there was nobody there. Same thing. Doors are locked on the back end, so no technicians had come in. And, you know, it was like one of those things where we could tell, like, we kept hearing footsteps too. Like, people were walking around the back of the shop, and Tony just, he lost it. I guess you would say he just snapped. And he opened up the sliding door to my office and screamed out into the warehouse. He's like, "Hey, mother effer, stop effing with us. We're sick and tired of it," right? Because at that point, we're going, there's nobody here.
Yeah.
You know, this is nothing. It's exactly what we're thinking. And as soon as he screamed that, we had all these 10-foot shelves all around the warehouse. Every single top of the shelf from every single one of them, all of the equipment was thrown off of it across the warehouse. It completely blew off, almost like something that just exploded behind it. And I was done. I said, "I'm out. I'm gone." And he's like, "Me too. I'm done. I'm gone." And so we left. We locked everything up. And I told the owner the next day, "I'm not going back in that office. I won't." I said, because there's something that's there. And then, and unfortunately, he was, you know, a close friend. And so, you know, I told him that he trusted me, and we went to the same, leasing office. We said, "We're done. We're moving. We don't care. We're going." We moved away. And in fact, we took the 3 bays that were right next to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we never had another problem.
Really?
Never had anything. Yep.
Still and, a connected building in essence, still the same one, but just a different bays.
Yeah. It was just different base. It was connected to it. I ended up going to the people that owned like the paint, whatever, like they did cabinet painting and all that kind of stuff. And I said, "Hey, why did you guys move out of that? Because we just moved out." And the guy just looked at me and goes, "Because there was some freaky shit going on in there."
You're like, "Yeah, I said, you okay, can say cool. that again."
I'm like, "You got it, baby." I'm like, "I'm talking to know about the flood." And what always weirds me out, or not weirds me out, but I always think about, is the people, there was another company that moved in there after us. And shortly after, we ended up buying a building and moving again. But it was a custom knife cutlery company that moved in there. And I was like, "Oh, geez, that ain't good. That's
of all the things.
Like, this is going to go bad." Right?
Oh, my God. I'm just thinking of the that hilarious commercial that comes on sometimes about the Geico. I think it's Geico. When they get this quote unquote the stupid teenagers where they're supposed to run, they're like, "Let's go to the shed with all the saws in it," you know, and you're like, "No."
Oh yeah.
Holy smokes. If that's
"No, let's go in here.
Yeah.
There's a running car."
Like, "No, this room is much better. It's a shed with all these sharp things."
Exactly.
If you couldn't have wrapped that up with a bow any better, it's just, that's perfect. The company with the knives. Okay, so the people before you lasted 3 months. How long did you guys last in the place?
All told, I want to say we were there for, it was over a year. It's probably about 14 months, give or take. And we had all of that kind of stuff going on, you know, the whole time, just weird stuff. And obviously it's kind of like, I'm just sitting here trying to, you know, say about the big things that happened, but you know, there was little weird stuff and there was big crazy stuff, but it was over a year. And it took me, just because I don't mind, you know, saying, it took me about 3 years to recover from that before I was off of any type of anxiety medication for panic attacks and things like that. It took me about 3 years.
And once the shelves were cleared and then you guys cleared out of there, did you continue to have the dreams mm-hmm. or anything else?
It all stopped.
Oh.
Everything stopped.
Now, what about, now you and Tony, obviously very affected by it. Did any of your other coworkers have any dreams, or did you notice, or did you even have an inkling of maybe they didn't want to share it with you, but like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so looks kind of rough, you know, every day when they come into work, like, and we're just wondering if they were going through the same thing.
You know, just because of the industry that we were in, it would be kind of hard to tell if someone was having a rough night because of dreams or just because they gotcha. Were out drinking all night.
Gotcha.
Because it's just those kind of, it's yeah. those kind of guys, you
I
know,
gotcha.
It's like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. But they made comments. Plenty of guys did, you know, like, man, this place is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, it just feels weird in here. No one ever said anything, but truth of the matter is that Tony and I were the ones that were there for the most part, mm-hmm. you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guys, they would come there in the morning and drop the trucks off in the evening, and they weren't there the rest of it. They would just make comments.
That's
well,
true.
Really
they were just out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and the girls, most of the girls that were there are the people, I shouldn't just say girls because there was guys as well. They were all part-time, you know, answering phones, things like that. So they're there a couple hours a day. And, you know, Tony and I were there 12 to 14 hours a day,
right.
you know, 5 days a week. So we were really the ones that were exposed to the majority of it.
Now, do you think, now obviously everybody experienced really, truly something, you know, one of their things being mm-hmm. moved, whether or not they wanted to attribute that to quote unquote Carl or not, that's, you know, their thing. But do you guys think, do you and Tony think, and it's just conjecture, but do you think if you hadn't have made light of it or maybe gave him a name, do you think then it, you would have been spared from some of this actually really serious stuff that ended up happening, you know, having to take medication and all of that. Do you think you would have been spared from that?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say that I love how you are now adopting his name as Carl.
Yeah, I better watch out now.
As opposed to the entity. Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm sorry, Carl. I got to treat him like Robert the doll now. I got to apologize.
Right. Yes and no. Like, I really do think that I don't know where it came from, but sometimes I think about that I did that. And Tony kind of hooked up to it and went along with it. And yeah, I do. I think, you know, we might've pissed somebody off, you know, or something off. It's hard to say, you know, cause
yeah.
maybe we would have just went through the whole thing thinking that there was weird little things happening and nothing else happened to us, you know, that was as major as it was. But there are, for the most part, I do think plenty of times, like I shouldn't make light of things like that. And I think, you know, I'm probably not the only one that's ever done that, you know, and I'm sure other people have been affected and some maybe not. But, you know, when it comes down to it, there's stuff that, you know, I know for a fact is otherworldly in the sense of it's outside of our realm. And, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to make jokes of it sometimes. So,
well, but the other side of that though is you two just part and parcel were there the most. I mean, you're GM and AGM, you guys are there all day, so you would be the easy
right.
target. So it may have been as simple as that, unfortunately, you know,
might,
for you guys.
Might have been. Yeah, I mean, you never really know.
Yeah, he just didn't
you know,
want
know.
Or it. I keep calling it he, but it could be an it, right? It just didn't want anybody in its space, obviously. So, but
right. And we're the ones that are mostly there. So,
yeah.
you know, it maybe had resentment towards the two of us the most.
But you know what's so strange? And I wonder about a lot of times about the different levels of power of things, if that's the best word. I don't know. But if you take, and again, we don't know if this is a human, you know, entity. Of course, it was very large. I get that. But who knows what happens after we die and if you're a bad person and what you might look like if you came back. However, whatever it was.
Exactly.
If you guys would have, I don't know, you're a group of friends and you had gone to a house, you know, for a weekend or something, or, you know, for a longer vacation. I don't know what would have, whatever it was. I just find it interesting that really, truly, that thing had enough power. Again, I don't know if that's the right word. It had enough power to influence people, people's minds, the actual environment around it, and move objects. I always think of the movie Ghost, right? Where he had to teach himself to, you know, you focus your energy, and, you know, he moved that penny on the subway stand, and he was a floor, and he was finally able to do that, and it was like the biggest deal ever, and had to work up from that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where I'm going with this. I just find it really interesting because this entity just seems really very powerful, and then to be able to blow all that stuff off of the top of those shelves, what was the poundage variation of the things that came flying off the shelves?
Well, it would have ranged, you know, pretty well, but I mean, we are talking about like drying fans, you know, the high capacity drying fans that weigh about probably 35 pounds each.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about, you know, different things like for air duct cleaning that are all bunched up in one that probably weigh about 50 pounds. And then we talked about also two smaller stuff like different bolts and things like that that are just kind of miscellaneous for, you know, small repairs, but they're in storage boxes. So it's not like one bolt goes flying. It's like a storage box of 2,000 bolts goes flying, you know? And so when you get something like that, it gets pretty heavy. And, you know, then there's also like, you know, there's tarps up there, but they're the big canvas tarps that, you know, probably weigh 20, 25 pounds, whatever. But those are the kind of things that are flying off, you know? So it's not light duty equipment, but it's also not like thousands of pounds.
Yeah. And this is without the shelves themselves tipping in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, no, shelves never move, no nothing. And these are, you know, the industrial size, you know, these are 10-foot shelves too. So it's not like it's a short little shelf that someone can just hop up on top of or grab. You know, they're big, they're heavy duty. And yeah.
You're like, I'm out. See ya.
I was done. Yeah. I was like, no. Mm-mm. I'm like, I always, you know, tell everybody I'm not afraid of a lot of stuff, but I'm also not an idiot. I know not what to mess with. And when stuff like that starts flying around, I'll tell you what, I don't know why it popped in my head when you're talking about the entities and, you know, different strengths and different presences. I'm obviously plugging something for Netflix here. They should give you money, but, there's a movie on there called The Winchester, about the widow of the guy that started the Winchester repeating arms. And that's kind of what it's about, is, you know, entities of people killed by the guns that are coming back and haunting her. Mm-hmm. And I won't spoil it for anyone, because I think you should watch it. I think you'd find it very interesting. And also anyone else who does. But it does have kind of that effect of, hey, there's, you know, there's different things out there. There's kind spirits, there's medium spirits, and then there's the angry ones, you know, and where they come from, we don't know, but they'll mess you up.
Well, and this is really, you know, it's an inane question because it does get asked almost every time this kind of a subject comes up, but an entity like that, or a person, whatever the hell it is, again, why that place? Was there something there before?
Right.
Was there a home there before, like way back, like who knows when? What's can we say the state of that place?
Oh yeah, I had actually said it earlier.
Oh, it's San Diego. You said it. I'm sorry. You said that.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all good. We've been talking for a while.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't even in my notes in front of me, and I still asked you. I'm sorry. I just wonder, you know, why that building? Why that office? That particular office space, especially when it's so crazy that you guys moved into just other bays that were so connected to that place, and then all gone, done, nothing.
And who knows? It's like we would talk about it too afterwards. It's like, did something happen there?
Right.
Did somebody die there? you know, was someone killed there? Like, who knows? I mean, you never know. Like, is that one little patch of building on top of an Indian burial ground or something that we don't know of? And it's who knows, you know? And that's what I think it really hit for with me. That was just so crazy. It's like, there's no explanation for it. It happened. It was freaky as all get out. And, you know, and I never want to really experience that again. And there's no explanation for it. I mean, it just is. It's just questions. And that might be the worst part, is the fact that it is. It's just questions. Like, you never know. I'll never have an answer.
And see, how many times have I said the ideal situation, in whether it's a, you know, a classic ghost apparition or an entity or a, you know, a demon, if you want to use the D word. Very few and far between there. But how it's much more advantageous to be able to go to a place, experience that stuff, if that, you know, whether you're looking for it or not, you experience there, but then you're able to go home and you leave it where it was. But in you guys' case, that thing was strong enough to permeate, you know, your home in a way, of course, because you're dreaming about it, and you guys were actually able to peg something so specific as to where this thing was, you know, living or originating from, whatever you want to call it. That's actually pretty fascinating and horrifying that it was strong enough to do that. And it chose to do that. It did. Chose to torture you guys, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's why you wonder, it's like, what kind of energy is that? You know, what is this energy?
Right. Was it ever a person?
Right. You know, and who knows? It could be a hole, you know?
Right.
Who knows? It's just like, or maybe it was somebody that was wronged. You know, I mean, you just never really know.
It makes you wonder, like, to go back to that that office space and rip up the carpet and like get a pressure washer on the concrete underneath there and see if, you know, if a weird stain comes up or something. I don't know, but it just, you know, it just makes you wonder what the hell, why? And it kind of makes you feel sad for whatever it is, in a way, but also you're kind of going, dude, did you have to take it that far? I mean, we just wanted to name you.
Well, you know, the farther I get in life and the more that I think about it and what it could have been, and if it is something, if there was something that happened and someone did die, it's more about, you know, nowadays it's like, maybe feel bad for it. I know that sounds weird, you know, but
it doesn't.
I mean, you know, if something is willing to torment a person that much, whether it's an energy or another person, I mean, they have to be tormented themselves, I guess, is the way that I look at it. So it sucked, and it gave me a lot of grief for a long time. But, you know, in the long run, the older you get, you move on and you're good. And it's like,
Thing's probably still there, though, because it's, you know, something like that, you just assume is timeless. You know, it probably doesn't have a sense of time like we do, or it probably won't have a quote unquote death of any sort. It already probably did. So once we hang up over the next few days, I'd like to get more information about, which of course won't be shared with anybody, but just where that was. And, you know, I would like to kind of look into that a little bit more, because that's a really, and don't take this the wrong way, it's just a cool story. With it all the corroboration, cool, you know, between you and Tony. That's kind of on the no list for me. That's pretty freaky. So, well, Chad, thank you so much for, of course, coming back on. And you're one of my Patreon members, so thank you so much for that, too.
I am. Yeah, you're very welcome. And I should thank you for having me back on. It was a lot of fun. I was not as nervous today. Last time, I was so excited. I was just nervous. So today was just, you know, it was fun. It was very relaxing. And, you know, I hope it's okay that I say this, but, you know, any of the listeners that are out there, I am one of the Patreons and I love it. I've been listening to all kinds of stuff, you know, and there's so much more when you're on there. I highly encourage anyone that's listening to just join up. It's fun. It's cool. There's a lot of awesome stuff on it.
Thanks, Chad. Thanks for saying that. I'm actually having a lot of fun with it too. Patreon's just so easy to use that I just want to, like, just share every day all this kinds of stuff. And there's just so many different ways to add bonus content. It's awesome. And then, of course, the Discord room, which at first I was like, wait, so this is like what, like AOL chat, kind of. Like, I didn't know what the hell a Discord server was. I was like, a Discord server. Okay. But I finally, figured it out. So we got it going.
Well, and I still have to figure that one out. I've just been, you know, enjoying everything, and I just see all the stuff that
on the Patreon, so, yeah,
for certain levels. Yeah, and I'm like, dude, it's unlocked for me. I love it. You know, yeah. I'm listening to it. I'm like, you know, whoever is on here and not unlocked for this stuff, you need to do it so you can hear these additional, you know, videos or chats or whatever it might be.
I think the biggest thing about Patreon for me, just as a podcaster and as someone that way before I started podcasting, I was consuming lots of podcasts, is that Patreon gives our patrons their own RSS feed. Like, it's a separate thing. And it's amazing. I should have gone on Patreon so long ago. I really should have, because the ease of use is spectacular. And I know it sounds like a big ad. I'm sorry, everybody, but I really am excited about Patreon. And I'm happy to be over there. I'm happy to have, you know, a handful of folks joining me over there too. And so thanks for that, Chad.
Yeah, no problem. I didn't mean for it to become an infomercial,
No.
Like you said, I am a Patreon. I do it. I can speak from experience. And you know what? In times like this where we don't have a lot that we can really do, it's filled up a lot of time for me when I'm at home or just doing whatever. And I love it. I'm glad you started it.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, you know, I do the live video chats, right? And
yeah,
I'll just pretty much, sometimes I'll air it for everyone to watch, but I'll only allow the Patreon members to actually join in on it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just do it for Patreons only. Would you ever be, you know, willing to come on and kind of quote unquote be the guest for that and have people talk to you about your coyote experience and the wall and things like that?
Yeah, totally. I'd be more than happy. Cool. Like I've told you before, you know, any way, shape or form that I can do something for you to help you out, I want to. And I'm just here to give my stories and, you know, have fun and let, you know, other people relax that have had the same thing or just curious. Let's just have fun with it. Dive into it. It's all good.
Except Carl can stay where he is. And we hope he's doing well as he can. But Carl can
stay. I'm telling you.
There. Over there.
Carl just needs to stay the hell away from me. That's all I'm good with.
Oh, see, we shouldn't be laughing now. I'm nervous. No, I'm just kidding. No, well.
I know, right?
That's such a cool story. So just like last time, I didn't know the details of stuff, and that's my favorite way to consume a story. So again, so cool. Wasn't expecting all those tie-ins at the end. I'm like, oh shit. Very cool. But
I remember you saying that from last time, yeah, that I didn't give a lot of details, and so I just did the same thing today. I just thought, why not?
It was perfect. You're like, I have shadow people and haunting stuff and poltergeist stuff. I'm like, cool. That's it. That's all I need. That's awesome. No, well, Chad, thank you so much. And I'll be in touch because I want to see when the next live video chat might be good for the rest of the Patreons. I try to stick around, you know, the majority rules for the day and time. But that would be really cool to have you on with everybody and just kind of get a dialogue going about your stories.
Yeah, just hit me up whenever. I'm more than happy to do it. And like I said, it's just about building the community. And, you know, I think you're doing a good thing. So
thanks,
you know,
Chad.
Let's just keep it rolling. Absolutely. Get more people involved.
Yeah, it's good to have you over there. All right, well, I'll be in touch as far as that goes, because I'm sure once this airs and then people will roll back to 209 and listen in and get their memories refreshed, then we'll have plenty to talk about for the next live video chat. So awesome. Well, thanks so much, Chad. You have a good night out there.
You're welcome. Hey, you too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such-and-such college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little biography. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Nobody knows who that is, because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. Not the same person who a little while ago left the platform.
If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.